is a lady the and a doll. The witch and the doll. A witch and a talking doll.
Witch and a doll. Okay, I'm going to do my thing. Okay. Is everybody rooter?
Let me get my position. I don't know what I have to talk about.
Well, you don't have... We have things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
because... This should be your meat, dude, because it's like, whatever goes through your fucking head about this, say it. You know?
Oh, boy. Welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z and Travis Schultz, pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching, Passions. We are joined, as always, with our co-host, by our co-host, Ben Hayes.
Yeah.
Don't know why you don't get put in the intro.
That's fine.
We can fix that.
You've memorized it one way.
And I'm not
never gonna
switching
change.
It up. hi, Ben.
Hello.
Hi, Travis.
Hi.
Is everybody okay? I've stopped asking, how are you doing? And now, I think I've mentioned this, and now my new thing is, are you okay? Is everybody okay? Ben, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I mean, we're all doing our things to get by. I spent many afternoons this week calling unregistered voters in Texas.
Ah.
Oh.
Just to try to Brave. Let them know about the deadline to register and... other tidbits information. It's been a mostly positive experience.
Oh, that's good.
People sometimes are genuinely unaware of the deadlines, so it's good to give them information.
They're pretty ridiculous.
But then there are some very, every now and then, there's a colorful person who disagrees with you.
Colorful.
Yeah.
You want to give us some tidbits?
Yes. I was called a traitor.
Oh.
I was a traitor to?
Just in general.
Just across
the board.
Told to eat shit and die.
No, you were not. Somebody said eat shit and die?
Yeah.
That's easy.
That's so easy.
Yeah. Yeah. But really, it was just like those two or three negative experiences.
Yeah.
Like I said, most of it's, you know, absolutely a positive thing. I encourage everyone to do it.
Are you the type who can take those, you know, small amount of criticism and compartmentalize it?
I wish I could put a recorder in the room because I continued the my side of the dialogue after they have hung up on me.
Oh, right. That's what Amy was saying.
So you don't want to talk to me anymore. You just want to hang up. That's okay.
I think that's maybe pretty therapeutic. Yeah.
You know what?
It's every call on a positive note, whether they are there or not.
That's good.
I love that. You create your own closure.
Yes, I do.
See,
that's great.
Good idea.
That's like the parenting style where, if your child is saying something that you don't want them to say, mm-hmm. you just answer their question as if they asked a question that you wanted them to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know that I could pull it off, but it's a very similar, I'm sure there's a name for that.
I don't know. It works for me.
Well, thank you, Ben, for doing that. I think it's important. You know, I think a lot of people are feeling like, what do I do? And for you to, you're really brave. We talk a lot about social anxiety and just how difficult that is psychologically to put yourself out there. And
it's not
you for doing that for
easy,
all of us.
But I encourage everyone to get involved somehow, some way. If you care about this stuff, there's many, many ways. You can do letter writing. You can send postcards. You can do texting. You can call people. So
that's great. Well, I too am coping in my own special way with the state of the world. You know, we talked a little bit about how I was going to experiment with the whole pretending to be in a novel,
mm-hmm.
Experiment.
Right.
And
it concluded.
It didn't work. It failed. And then, we also spoke about how I was going to, this is a bit more complex. I was going to project myself 20 years in the future, and mentally, to be able to look at 2020 from a nostalgic point of view,
mm-hmm.
did not work.
Right. Cause you're basically going to try to wear a mentality
that doesn't exist yet.
Exactly.
It failed. I think I have it. I think you guys are both going to really like this.
Can't wait.
Leaning in.
I'm going to pretend like none of this is happening. So, hold on. Bear with me. No. Listen. So
this does not sound healthy.
This is going to be great. Listen, I'm going to wake up one morning and I'm going to be like, life's normal. I'm going to put my clothes on. I'm going to do the thing. I'm going to think. And I'm going to be like, you know what? I want to go see a movie today. So I'm going to go to the movie theater. It'll be closed. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, huh, well, that's weird. I guess they're just cleaning it. and then I'll come home and I'll make myself some lunch. I don't know what I'm going to do with the mask.
This is giving me a panic attack just listening to it.
I'm really not looking forward to the conversations that I'll be having.
I'm very, very sorry, Travis.
Guys, it's going to work. I feel good things about this.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I have to get around the mask issue and I have to figure, I mean, not, I'm going to wear one, obviously, but I have to talk myself into an excuse.
New fashion trend.
I think that might be where I can get like some sort of designer
very
logo
problematic for my family.
I'm gonna help Natalie just because I want to see what happens in this experiment.
Okay.
What are you gonna do? Are you gonna buy
I'm
me?
I'm gonna help. I'm gonna give you suggestions. Like okay. When you're like, where are my delusion's reaching its end, I'll be like,
listen, you don't have to put labels on it.
Yeah.
I would appreciate
That's what I mean, it's
you're,
called.
You're doing well. Like, movie theaters closed.
I really thought you guys were going to get on board. Yeah. I really thought you would be on.
All the bars are closed. Side. It's a new health trend. No one's drinking.
No, Edendale's not. I'm going to go see Valentine. I'm going to go to the salon.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be just like it's supposed to be.
Okay. Well, yeah. This will be fun.
Okay.
Travis, that's awesome for you.
No, don't try this, baby, please.
Well, look.
Did you already start?
I hate to tell you.
Did you already start?
You can't unring the bell.
That's right. And now we have the train. Our new host is Brad Pitt. And
yeah, exactly. Remember the little intro?
No, I will. You'll know. Yeah. Oh, you'll know.
Oh, I'll know.
Speaking of delusional, again, I don't love the labels.
I try to do everything I can to keep you happy.
You really do, and I appreciate it.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, God.
Okay. Sorry, Ben.
Sorry.
Passions.
Yeah.
Episode 361.
361. Yeah. This is a big one.
It's a big one. Tell us why.
Big one.
Well, this is everything that people associate with passions has to do with two characters who we have not yet spoken about.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. And that is, those two characters are Tabitha and Timmy.
Tabitha and Timmy.
For the purposes of the podcast, this is their debut, kind of, right?
Yeah, on the pod
premiere. For us.
Yeah.
So we're really gonna fuck this up.
Yeah. Well, where's Mackenzie when you need her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And maybe it would help because it's such a big thing if we kind of just say what this episode is, like a TV Guide recap.
Yeah.
We're not a recap show.
We're not a recap show, but I'll take it unless you guys want to take it.
God damn it.
Travis is so mad.
I know.
So recapping, in this episode, Tabitha and Timmy are just doing like creepy loitering in a backyard.
Well,
no, they're getting plastic.
I may be the wrong person. Well,
that's two in the weeds already. Okay. This is a TV Guide recap. Basically,
somebody else take the recap.
Tabitha and Timmy give advice. Okay. Semicolon.
Great.
Mackenzie's funeral. Some truths.
No, Sheridan's funeral. Sorry, Mackenzie is still alive and well.
Yeah, Mackenzie. Sheridan's funeral. Some truths come out.
Oh.
And then what's the
secrets revealed?
Oh, and Hecuba continues her scheme with Kay.
This is my favorite part.
There's also with Tabitha and Timmy and Charity.
Yeah, Charity ends up doing a dual storyline here.
So right. Yeah,
so that's a TV Guide recap and, separated by semicolons. Yeah,
okay.
Timothy has a little soft spot for Charity.
Yeah, Timmy's in love with Charity. I forgot about that.
I did too.
Yeah, I wrote it down.
I forgot about that.
Let's launch into that then, so we can get into the weeds.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. I just like want to do some bullet points, and then we can go into more. But I'm not recapping things I've forgotten. How about that?
Okay.
Things I've forgotten was that Timmy was in love with Charity. Completely forgot because I didn't watch this stuff. I would fast forward.
And that's good. This is news to me.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you can see it a little bit when he blushes. Unspecial effects.
Yes.
Effects. Also, I forgot that Timmy calls Tabitha princess. It is the creepiest fucking thing. Why does that creep me out so bad? And then the other thing is... oh shit! What was the other thing? I think it was the thing we just mentioned that he's in love with Charity. I don't know.
In love with Charity.
So,
No, what it is I forgot that nobody could see. He was a doll.
Yes.
This is like a huge part of the narrative, like the only part of the narrative. I completely forgot that he was a doll. Even though when people say, "Oh, you mean the show with the witch and the doll?"
Yeah.
I blocked out that second part.
No, we never watched their stuff.
Yeah.
Because we watched our stuff.
So if you're living in harmony and you run across Tabitha, what you're going to see is
a crazy lady.
A woman
lady.
With a more or less human-sized child.
With beautiful hair.
Doll.
With beautiful hair.
That was, right. I don't mean to call anyone out, mm-hmm. but that was a wig. And I mentioned this.
Yeah.
I mentioned this only because, not to throw shade, because she was so smart. Juliette Mills, who played Tabitha on the show, who's this incredibly acclaimed.
She's also a veteran
theater actress and
stage vet and screen,
and she does Stoppard, and he can tell you all about that. But she was so smart because she knew, as a lot of actresses over a certain age, that if you show up to work and plop a wig on your head, that does two major things. It gives you more sleep because you get to come in later, and it doesn't fuck up your hair. It doesn't destroy your hair. My husband has been for, I don't know what, past maybe 3 or 4 years, begging me, like, you really got to start. I'm not quite there yet.
She does a job. And then for 3 months, her hair is... like falling out.
It is not falling out. By the way, my hair doesn't fall out. It just gets very brittle. I have curly, very, very curly hair, and the products and the heat and all that, it doesn't like it.
Baby, your hair's getting pissed.
It's getting mad. We'll get there. But again, not to call people out, but this is public knowledge. Julia Louis-Dreyfus did it, has been doing it for years because she's smart as fuck.
She also works a lot.
Yeah, Juliana Margulies did it on The Good Wife, which everybody knows because she's also smart as fuck. Juliette Mills did it. All these women are very smart. They know what they're doing. So, yeah.
I want to say Juliette was probably doing it on television before a lot of people were doing it.
She probably was. She was probably a pioneer of the...
And I think that's kind of how it worked. It was like, oh, she's playing this character. So it's okay to use a wig.
Right.
But then if you're just playing... like a kooky character, I should say. But if you're just playing, you know,
a lawyer, the vice president or whatever.
Use your hair.
Yeah.
Use your regular
But those
hair.
Women, the women I just mentioned, they have a lot of clout and they can say, no, I'm going to have a $5,000 wig. I'm going to have a couple of $5,000 wigs.
Right.
Also, wigs are, yes,
they're
more expensive.
That's probably on the lower end.
Yeah. Wig budget.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. Ben knows. Yeah. So, great hair.
How does Ben know?
Because Ben works in television.
Oh, okay. I was like, geez, Ben wears a wig?
And he wears a wig.
And I wear a wig, but I usually cover it with a hat.
Knew that. So those are the tidbits about the Tabby Timmy stuff that I had forgotten.
That's true. I did forget about the love affair. Love affair.
No.
His
obsession.
His crush. Obsession and crush. Yeah, crush is a better word.
So I have some story thoughts or questions that maybe y'all can address.
Probably not, but go ahead.
Yeah.
So Tabitha's this very powerful witch who's been alive for a very long time.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Right. Why
is she having to, why can't she use magic to be wealthy or at least just get by?
There is the answer. Well, there is an answer. Do you know the answer? Because I think I do.
No, I was just going to make one up.
The context here is that in the show, she and Timmy,
yes,
aka the doll, are going around collecting plastic bottles, presumably to recycle.
Like homeless
back
people,
taxes.
Yeah.
Back taxes.
Yeah.
I have an answer.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, back taxes. She is saying about back taxes. Oh,
yeah. And I was like, this is very topical.
Sure, but also really slow way to pay your taxes. I mean, why doesn't she use magic? Can't she just make money?
Let me answer. I know.
I think Nellie wants to say something.
She's been stripped of her powers.
Oh, she's got to get him back.
Do you remember that?
Nope.
Oh, okay. And that's why she's pushing charity. Charity to make love.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Sorry. Okay.
But yes, and listeners, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I really do feel like this is part of the Tabitha narrative, is that she has somehow been stripped of her powers, and that's her, the driving force behind everything that she does.
Okay.
The charity thing and the K stuff and the... whatever the crazy shit she's doing.
Trying to get those powers back.
Trying to get those powers back.
Yeah. I did not know that, and that explains a lot.
Yeah, why they're collecting.
Right. Yeah, why this magic's pretty lame.
Yeah.
That's true.
I will say that the blatant promotion of Hidden Passions, the book, was so distasteful, left such a disgusting taste in my mouth. The whole like meta bullshit with like talking about NBC, that felt so yuck to me. Just really...
It was actually very weak.
That line is the first time I ever was made me angry at both of you because I felt
making
like
you watch it.
I don't even know if this podcast airs. I feel like this is maybe some giant prank
that you guys are pulling.
To make me watch the show.
To make you watch the show.
I mean, I realize that's delusional. But anyway.
Again,
No, I would never do that to you, man. I love you too much.
No, but it was a fleeting thought. I was watching. I was like,
We've all become very paranoid in our in our delusional states.
Yes. Yeah, in our delusional states, we've become paranoid over everything.
Yeah, I had a really, really hard time stomaching that as like, because I was looking at it from the standpoint of the viewer at the time, and just how like. Like, I know I'm cursing a lot in this particular episode, but just like, fuck you, man. I'm just trying to watch a soap. I'm trying to watch people fall in love, and I'm you're trying to be distracted for an hour of my day, and you're throwing this bullshit at me. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah,
it was very upsetting.
And I looked over as I was watching the episode to see my copy of Hidden Passions.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I thought of your copy of Hidden Passions. Yeah.
Well worn.
Yeah.
Leaked
yeah.
through.
And now we know that Tabitha never paid her taxes because that book, was that book a bestseller?
The actual book?
The actual
or the book in the show?
The actual
exactly.
book.
Like, where did...
I don't know. Right. The lines are blurred.
Where are the lines?
Yeah.
It makes me angry.
Breaking that wall.
Right, yeah.
Episode 361.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was really annoying and gross. I agree with you completely. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I guess it worked because the show lasted a long time, but the tonal shift between the Tabitha Timmy scenes with the relatively more realistic funeral scenes.
It's a really strange shift. You're right.
And the music and
everything.
It was very clunky.
Because so like slapsticky and goofy.
And the plucky guitars. Yeah. And I still to this day have that spooky like riff that happens every time you see Tabitha Timmy. You know, the boo doo doo doo.
Yeah.
It will never, ever go away from my...
Right.
It'll be burned on my brainal, my audio retina.
Your audio retina.
You know what I mean. Mm. My brainal? Did I just almost try and make brainal?
What is audio brainal cast drumonial?
Okay, so then, unless anybody has more
well,
to add about...
I was going to say that I love the fact that Charity is cool with Tabitha. Like she's like, oh, hey, crazy old lady. Yeah, because I just like in terms of the... Like,
look at Ben's
face. I like that because Charity's like this really sweet person who's like, I'm not going to discriminate against this old crazy lady walking around with a doll.
But she's asking her crazy old lady friend for sex advice.
Right. Yeah, and that's when I started. I was like, this is very interesting. Like, maybe this is the crazy lady who... Everyone's like, do you know what she, you know who she was? She's been around for a while. She's good advice. Ask her for some advice.
She's like Dr. Ruth times 100.
Right. It's like, I can't talk to my mom about meth, so I talked to Tabitha.
That's not a bad take on it.
That was my take on it.
Interesting.
Which I, you know, it's just like, I was bored, so I thought of something to talk about on a podcast.
I definitely look at my phone when I'm watching this
but
show.
That's a generous take. I was just kind of like, I don't see any. I mean, I can barely get.
Well, You were one of those viewers that was like, this show is not for me. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I wonder if this would have been the thing.
It probably would have been the thing.
Maybe.
Maybe that's a segment
enjoyable.
We should have is like, what is the thing that's going to get you to
stop watching?
Right. It's enjoyable in a way. You just got to sit back and just like go, okay.
Look, this is going to be a weird take. So I apologize. But one of the cool things about this show and probably soap opera in general is that, you know, it's not a nuanced study of character, which is kind of cool because you can make people evil and then you can make them good.
Yeah.
Right.
And in dealing in the extremes, you can actually say something kind of fun and cool. Now, do they do that in the show?
No.
But
you could.
It's kind of cool to see the potential.
And that is like the same thing with Hecuba. And then like even with Tabitha where they try to do it with like, what do you know about sex, Tabitha? And she's like, and then where do they go? Attila.
Yes.
Attila.
Yeah.
And it's like
weird,
kind of racist and kind of like funny in an old white guy kind of way. Like, what would we call, like, let's say it's about Attila the Hun, but what does she call him? What's like her pet name for her? Oh, Attila.
Yeah.
Like, it was so like...
Yeah. Oh, history, guys.
So many people in history could have been much more interesting than watching them run around a tent with fake snow.
Yes.
And then, like, shaking the tent inside.
But why Attila, though? I mean, she's supposed to be, like, this New England witch.
No, well, because she's
it
so old.
Makes
she's a million
no
years old.
Sense.
It's like Charlene's... Brainel. It's already happening.
Remember.
Charlize Theron's character in the movie where she doesn't die.
Right. I saw that.
Spoiler alert. It's the same thing. Like she's throughout history been, she's been these
right.
incredible women.
Yeah.
And right. I think that's sort of where they're, they obviously Passions doesn't do it as well, but right. I think they want to set it up as she's been around for all the big things.
Yeah.
Like,
and now she's carrying around a doll and collecting.
Yeah.
How the Mighty Have Fallen. I don't know. I mean, I don't, again, I think low. That's giving them too much credit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying if I were doing it, I'd be like, it'd be William Quaker. Or Ben right. Franklin.
But I think no, that does no. come in later. That she, stuff.
There, there are, you guys want to just rewrite the show right now? We can do it.
I feel like we already have.
Yeah,
right.
Really. That just reminded me of that tweet.
So here's my next question for you guys
yes.
to fill in some blanks here.
Okay.
What's the relationship between Hecuba and Tabitha? Are they enemies?
I think they're enemies.
But they're
yes.
both evil.
Yes. They're both on the same side. They're rivals. Exactly. Okay. They're on the same side of the good and evil spectrum.
Right.
But
right.
they are maybe fighting to, talking out of my ass, fighting to be the most evil.
Okay.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like if you can have all the power or share the power and you're evil, which one do you want?
Well, I think we all know the answer to that.
We all know the
all
answer.
Right, yeah. Okay.
You want all of it.
Speaking of evil.
Speaking mm-hmm. of.
Hold on.
This could go anywhere.
It could really go anywhere. Molly Stanton.
Oh, no. That is not where I expected you to go.
So Molly Stanton, who plays Charity, who is going sort of back and forth between these two.
She's being...
storylines. She's with Tabitha right. and Timmy. Well, she's also with Hecuba.
No. She's Kay.
Right, which is where I'm going. So Hecuba, again, not a recap show. Hecuba has given Kay this little morsel.
Right.
And that is to cloak herself in a sort of charity body.
Yes. It's a spell that Kay seems really slow to pick up on.
She's not the smartest.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't get it.
Right. I told you, Travis, I'm going to cast a spell on you.
Okay.
And the world is going to see you as Natalie.
Okay.
Okay. It's that fast. But for Kay, she's like, wait a minute. So my voice sounds like Charity? And then we cut to another storyline, come back. And she's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So my hair looks, I mean, it's just like, how many times do I need to explain this to you, idiot?
I know.
What if you went to the kitchen as a viewer? You went to the kitchen to get the thing and then you came back. She's like, well, hold on. What the fuck just happened?
Right. I know. I'm just saying it's
fine. Why is Charity?
Hold on. Why does Charity sound
room?
Like, ooh. Right.
I thought Molly did a great
job.
This
is what I was going to say. Okay. I love Molly as Kay.
Yes.
Yeah.
She did a good job with the gestures and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really good character study. It was fun.
I thought she was
really impressed.
And I also wanted to just watch her be Kay all the time.
Yeah.
Which is why I think evil.
Which is, I think, why
when evil Charity comes in, she's so much more enjoyable.
I think the writers and the producers
they saw it.
Enjoyed watching Molly being evil, and they thought, well, wait a second.
Yeah, I don't think Molly was ever supposed to play a good girl. In fact, Molly ended up doing a show with Sarah Gilbert, a sitcom with Sarah Gilbert and Melanie Griffith and some other great sitcom actor and. Where they played twins. I think it was called Twins, maybe. And she was, she played like this sort of Paris Hilton type, you know, vapid kind of socialite. And she was so great. Her comedic timing was incredible. She worked her ass off. Talk about auditioning, Travis. She worked her ass off to get this part. She went in 100 times against actresses that were far better known than her. And she ended up getting the role. And the show was only on for a season. But I just feel like Molly was meant to play... more than just like saccharine, sweet, dumb, boring, disgusting Charity. And so when they gave her the chance to do it, I think she really went for it.
She did.
Yeah.
That was great.
I was really impressed.
Can we get her on the show?
I can't find her.
Molly.
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 I have an old phone number, maybe.
A friend of Molly is
Molly. I would love to get Juliet.
Okay.
You have Juliet's phone number.
I do. Do I?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah,
she loves you. Travis.
Yeah,
she's the best.
If we could get her on,
yeah.
God, I could have just worked. I wanted to be Timmy. I would have had so much fun.
Did you pose that as a possibility with the writer?
No.
Or with the producers?
Unlike how the producers and writers reacted to Molly's performance, they reacted to my performance as Ethan one way.
Yeah.
They were like, let's keep shitting on this guy.
Let's never change.
Let's never change him. Mm. He deserves everything.
Great.
And maybe he'll learn how to do this genre correctly. Nope.
Nope. Not going to do it.
Recast.
So with Hecuba and Kay as Charity.
Yeah.
Right.
Did anyone think it was weird that she said, you're going to seduce this Hunko Rama, mm-hmm. line of the day,
mm-hmm.
and but I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to stay right here.
Hunko Rama.
Yeah.
I did. I thought it was gross. Again, yeah. This whole episode was pretty gross. I had more of an issue with, I had a slight issue with that, but I had more of an issue with, okay, so this girl is so horny for this guy.
So horny.
That it doesn't matter. Yeah, that it doesn't matter that he thinks she's somebody else. She's that horny for him.
Right.
Yeah.
That didn't track with me. That's right. Not, as a girl, as a human being,
yeah.
That's not, I think, a thing.
Well, that's what I'm wondering if that comes out later, where maybe Kay finally is like, wait a second.
She does push back a little bit, but it's very, right. very, you know, it's minor. But she does.
Yeah, but right. she ends up going
she does
for
take
it, right?
the deal.
Yeah. She takes the deal.
She does take the deal, but...
Deal with the devil.
With Hecuba. But she does kind of complain. She's like, I want him to like me for me. Not, I don't right. want...
I went to the bathroom.
I'm telling you.
I was on my
you.
Phone. Okay. So,
I don't want to take the wind out of your sails of your argument because it's right.
No, I don't mind.
But I think in the writer's room, someone probably said, do we...
Maybe
just... I mean, yeah. exactly what you're saying.
So yeah.
Is this where Kay's learning about her sexuality? And
the making, it, it's, you don't
love?
Say sex in the show. It's no, making love. Love.
Making love.
May I just also say,
and falling in love. Or
may I also say that I have this written down. Make love to me is the single most humiliating line an actor can ever be forced
make
to
love
say.
To me.
Make love to me. I've had to do it a few times, and it's like there's bile on the tip of my tongue as it's falling out of my mouth.
Do people say this in real life?
No.
I said it to Natalie on our wedding night, but apparently that was the wrong thing to say.
And you spent that wedding night alone.
I did.
Yeah,
I did. I said, Natalie, make love to me.
Oh, God.
It's
I can't even look at you. Stop. Please stop.
It's no good, Travis.
No, it's no good.
Make love to me.
Travis, it's hurt. It hurts.
I'm trying to say it without feeling weird.
Yeah, you can't.
Make love to me. Yeah, do it like that.
Yeah, that's it.
I think it only works in a comedy that someone will write about passions.
Yes.
If we don't get the fuck on it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. So the answer is no one says that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
It's awful.
Right. It does seem like that section was written by a trio of 12-year-old girls who don't know the right words to say. So, you know, so make love to me is the best they can come up with. And then when they turned in their draft, the older writers were like, don't have time to read it.
Let's just shoot it.
And then I can see the actors saying, do people talk like this? They're like, don't ask questions. Wait. Just
hold on. Can we write that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Can we write the movie of the 12-year-old girls being commissioned to write certain scenes on Passions, and then like they're like locked in a room, and they're like, I don't know.
Oh, we can build on this too, because it could be like the daughters of a couple of the writers who don't have time,
sure,
or just kind of outsource it,
sure. Ugh. Or they're like busy on their yacht,
yeah, and like my kid wrote the pages, we're gonna send them in,
yeah.
Oh man, so bad.
Good.
So bad.
Anyone have any further thoughts on K. Miguel.
I mean, the K. Miguel thing, I love, like, she's like, all right, let's do this. We're going to have sex. And Miguel's like, I got to tell you about K. And
yeah,
how I thought
that's
about
a, that's
it.
A real like, passions move.
I'm like,
yeah.
Man, that's funny. That's funny. Well, we were just talking in the last thing about how it's like, okay, Gwen, now that I've discussed with you about marriage, I'm going to go talk to Teresa about it, and I'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first thing I have written down about the funeral stuff is Gwen is disgusting. It's just
I mean,
in a moral sense, or
I don't remember why I wrote it down, but I must have had a reason. I think it goes back to the whole bachelor thing again. There's some more bachelor setup, because either Gwen or Andrea uses the term the right reasons,
mm-hmm.
which is very much a Bachelor trope.
Yeah.
And we started it, I guess. But Gwen is talking about, I'm in it for the right reasons. And
yeah, I realized, yeah.
What is that?
What does that mean? I realize you did the right thing. That's what you say. When I allow myself to think about it rationally, I realize you did the right thing. That's what you say. That's what Gwen says.
Right.
And it's like, my brain broke because it implies that any other way of thinking other than the way the man thinks is irrational.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not irrational for her to think that we've known each other, dated each other, engaged.
Yes. No, the rational thing would not be to
understand call off that, the wedding. Oh, you called off the wedding because you're in love with someone else. That's not rational. That's irrational. It's shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think? I don't know. The rational thing for Ethan to do would be like, all right, I'm just going to put this Teresa thing out of my mind and go on with this wedding. But that was...
Well, hold on.
Oh.
Hold on.
I'm going to push back on that.
I might
push
too.
Because
I think... Go on.
Well, no, you go.
Well, you go.
I think we're going to say the same thing.
I think we are too.
If you are about to get married, but you can't stop thinking about someone else...
Right.
Then it's probably the rational thing to do is to say... Maybe I don't feel strongly enough to go through with the marriage. I mean, you have to do some soul searching. Is this infatuation?
I think what Travis is saying, okay. and I agree.
I mean,
with, well,
that makes sense. Yeah.
But I think what you're saying, and I agree, is that Gwen should not have been the fucking one to have to say that. I am so sorry. I'm so fired up this episode.
You are.
She shouldn't have had to be the one to say this. Oh, what you did was the rational thing. And when I start thinking about what the rational thing is, I agree that that was no. Gwen is allowed to be like, "Hey, bro, you called off our wedding." On the day before, I don't care
right,
about
right,
what's
right.
rational.
Well, that's
and
what
I,
it is.
And
it's,
I think
it's
that's what you're saying.
Word.
It's like,
yeah, okay.
it's like the
yeah,
wrong
yeah,
person
yeah.
is
right.
yeah.
The wrong person saying that.
Like
yeah.
she like what they're doing is they're taking this. They're taking away her agency to be fucking mad.
Yeah.
To be mad. I'm getting so riled up about this. Oh, I hate this character so much.
There's another one in that same little thing. Another line that I say is I say she's just as much an innocent as you are. And I remember when I heard that line, I was like, I had flashbacks of saying that so many different times. She's just as much as an innocent as you are. And I'm like, that's such a bizarre thing to say. Like, it's such a weird
yeah.
thing to say.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I'm like, wow, I could never get away from that. Ethan never got away from that.
Hmm.
Because I don't know. It frustrates me because there's just so many better ways to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's such an antiquated,
no, how about,
strange
like,
way
this
to
is
say
my
it.
Fault. I'm the asshole here.
Yeah. Right? That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, that's how normal people
would talk,
say it.
Yeah.
Like, look, you're innocent in this. It's my fault.
Maybe it was the 12-year-old girls who wrote that. They
yeah.
were just
she's,
like, how do we
but
articulate
but then I'm like,
this?
I'm like, I'm defending both of you, but not indicting myself.
Right. Right. You're saying, look, we've all made mistakes. No.
You did.
No.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes yeah. were made on all sides.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're all to blame here.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, Ethan, you're the only fucking one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. You deserve a man who adored you and only you. I mean, you can see us struggling with that. And we're like, I don't know what I'm trying to say to you. And these words aren't helping me get there.
Yeah.
Right.
When I'm saying to you, you deserve a man who adored you. And also, I messed up the line. Yeah, it was very strange.
Yeah, it kind of makes you...
It's clunky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you want to let the actors off the hook a little bit. For me, watching this
right.
the second time around,
right.
20 years later, it makes me... I'm a little less... harsh on the younger. I mean, the older actors, they killed it. They were just doing exactly what they were supposed to do. But
well,
I have a little less judgment about because again, your famous line of the writers are not doing us any favors.
Yeah.
Right.
It keeps
right.
ringing truer and truer.
Yeah.
Even just from a syntax point of view.
Right. That should be the beginning of it.
Then
you, or maybe not. I mean, you think about what's the reason of the emotional thing that you're trying to say.
Yeah. What do you want?
Right. And that's what I thought was missing on this show is because these were first drafts. The spelling errors, words jumbled. So I was under the impression that I come to work and I say, okay, I've done a little, I've basically structured properly what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
In my own words. So let's do it this way. And there was pushback on that.
Yeah.
A lot of pushback.
Do it the bad way.
And it was like, but you don't understand. I can't say it this way and mean what you want me to mean.
Right.
I need to change it.
I wonder if that's just a time thing why they didn't want to listen to you, or if it's just an ego thing on their part.
Probably a little bit of both.
I think it was a little bit of both. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, we have 80 pages to do today, and we don't have time for actors to talk about their process, even though it wasn't. It was just about spelling and grammar errors.
You know,
like, can I make this make sense grammatically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because it was just, for me, for a lot of times, I remember being like, this is just for my brain. Because I think this is what you're trying to say, but I can't say this monologue this way because it doesn't make sense. And that's what happened a lot on that show, is monologues would start in a place, and then they would go off on tangents. It's kind of like in the scene, in my first scene where I'm talking about Sheridan, and I do that long speech. And you even said in that first episode, you said, man, they did you no favors. But it was a lot of that. And it was like, can I just say it this way? And they're like, no, you have to say this. As written.
Oh, that's weird.
And it was, it made the job.
But that's the reality of soaps. I don't know. I've only worked in dramas, so.
No, I mean.
It's particular to the genre. Look,
most shows I work on, the writer's like, no, that's, say the lines, as written.
Not me. I haven't had that experience.
Most of the writer's rooms I've been on, they've been very receptive because, you know, you guys, you know the characters really well.
Well, I also do guest stars.
Well, yeah.
You do series regulars.
I think it's when you start to shape the character,
you have a
bit more free reign.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember working with Bill Lawrence.
There you go.
And
I got it.
Natalie, now you have to do one.
No, if I don't do one and he does, that meets the quota.
That's a new rule?
Oh,
that's a new rule. Yeah, write it down.
New rule.
Okay, write it down. Travis, how is that? And so can't say right. Now, Bill would be like, okay, now do your own stuff. And I'd say, what?
Because say, Bill's so like, yeah, smart and he yeah. understands.
He's
that,
like, if it's funnier than the stuff I wrote, then why would I not use that?
And I think that's a really good sign of a great, I know we're getting off topic a little bit, but I know that's a great sign of a really good showrunner and a really good writer. Jason Jones would do the same thing where he's like, look, pitch me anything. If it's better than what I have, I already did the name drop. Jason Jones is the name drop. Sorry, Jason.
You broke the rules. No. No, it's true. You did a lot of that.
Yeah.
But that was also because of time.
Yeah. But but he was very open and receptive.
You and Jason were great together. You guys were great. So funny.
We were great.
So I think we have shifted to the funeral now.
I think we're in the funeral. Right. I think we've been in the funeral, but we haven't talked about the actual inside the church what's going on with Sheridan.
Oh, your posture was so bad in that scene. Now.
Mine?
Jesus, Travis. Yeah.
Listen, this is what I live
with. Sorry, I'm getting stuck on this because we looked like Mulder and Scully, like our outfits.
We really did. We really did.
And it was the time period,
It wasn't. Yeah. It was about 10 years later, which is the time period for passion.
That was 93. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like.
My posture was shit.
You were like hunched over and I thought, well, was that an actor thing?
Was because I playing cold?
Right. Because
that's what it was.
Yeah, they did dress you guys like FBI agents.
They really did.
It was FBI agents going to a funeral.
Yeah, I'm sorry about
that. We
my
were
posture.
The ones looking for the lurking Flashman.
That's right. You didn't know. That was our subtext, was that we were private detectives.
Okay.
He was CIA, I was FBI.
We
were looking for the guy who shows up. What's his name? It was really cool of him to come, though.
Creepy
the killer?
French guy?
Yeah, creepy French guy killer.
I come to check, see if you're all dead.
You would think that he would be the one to check if she's breathing.
Yeah.
If anybody.
No, he is. But he's doing it in, I want to say, like the 1800 way, where you pull out
it's like a needle.
A needle, and you stick them in the hand.
No one has ever done that ever. That's no time period has anyone been like, I know how to tell if they're alive or dead. Let's pull out a stick pin.
I mean, what are the ways you check to see if someone's alive? You take a pulse. You can hold up a mirror.
Uh-huh.
You could probably shake them vigorously.
See if they're cold.
Dump her out of the casket.
Yeah. Dump water on her. See if she screams.
Yeah. But he goes to like some weird obscure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Acupuncture?
What it is. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
She'll probably feel better.
Maybe that's why he was too. He was performing acupuncture.
Yeah. Maybe she has some carpal tunnel.
That's probably. Guys, we did not even see it.
That's why you do not assume, especially on passions.
Don't assume anything.
All right.
Yeah, we fixed it. Something. What fixed else? Oh, and then the other thing about the funeral, there was a flashback of Hank crying as he pulls the trigger again to shoot Sheridan.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Has he always been crying like a pussy every time he does that, or did I just notice it, or is it getting worse?
No, I don't think we saw that before.
Like, yeah, but it's like the Vanderbeek meme of him crying.
Yeah,
it's like the cry face.
It's yeah. like that. Yeah, the cry face.
It's intense. It was more intense than I had remembered it being.
Well, speaking of Hank and Luis, when they're when they're talking in the church, and Luis is saying, "I only need 5 minutes to kill him." I'm like, how? It's amazing that Galen did a straight take of saying that, because that is the most, like, I only need 5 minutes to kill him. And I'm like, again, what?
Yeah.
Like, what? And like, I'm like, Galen must have like had to have, I don't know how he did it.
I have to say,
I was impressed.
I have noticed that with Galen a lot, that
he gets some doozies.
He gets some, and he does
Kills
it.
Kills me to say this.
He does it. And I didn't remember him having such bad lines.
And why does it take so long? And what?
I
only need 5 minutes.
Choke someone out.
Well, Hank could be like, what about six?
6 minute abs. 5 minute abs.
6 minute abs. Yeah, right. 5 minute kill.
That's Hank right. seems really over his guilt, by the way. I've never seen him more relaxed than he is in the church.
The funeral. Yeah, he's like,
yeah. He's like, what's done is done.
Yeah, he's just like,
it is what it is.
We're just chilling out here at the church.
Let's not.
You want to like go get a beer after this?
Luis,
because his body language is so, he's forgiven himself.
He's forgiven himself.
He's moved on.
Like, part of his subtext.
He's like, Luis, let's get out of here. Yeah. Let's go, because my buddy's going to show up with a stick.
Yeah, so let's get out of this funeral, this kind of revolving door funeral. You come in, say something to Sheridan.
Everybody's got trench coats on.
Get on the bench, talk about The Bachelor, get out.
Come back inside, say goodbye again. And then that leads to the best line of the episode, the irony laden, who is that guy?
Oh,
from Luis.
And that's where we close, right?
Basically, what a cliffhanger, guys.
Man, it must have been a Friday episode.
Yeah, it was
even though last episode was Tuesday.
The ending was,
that was a good, good cliffhanger.
Woo-hoo.
Who was that guy?
Yeah, it was great because I got excited when I saw it. I was like, oh, Ben finally gets it.
Yeah.
Like, you finally got your red herring.
Yeah.
Kind of Easter egg.
Yeah. And it didn't belabor it. It was a really good, like, who's that guy?
Oh,
tiny scuffle.
They will.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. But
okay.
Don't belabor at the end.
No. No, they're going to belabor on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah. And then we cut to the closing music with the goddamn penny whistle.
Yep.
That time period that I really hate. Is it a penny whistle? Do we know? Or is it like an Irish, a Celtic flute?
It feels Celtic. Yes, Travis.
Yeah, very Celtic. Do you guys remember what he said to Sheridan, the French guy?
No.
I was beginning to think you have 9 lives, mademoiselle.
Oh, yes.
Or does that only apply to kitty cats?
This is before the needle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and we're done. That is all we need.
Oh, man, I got so much more.
Oh, you do? I thought that was your ending.
It's fine. I mean, I wanted to point out how, you know, Hank goes to Pilar.
That's a whole thing.
And he's, and he's like, we got to get Luis out of here. He's like, hey, Pilar, he said he's going to kill someone. And she's like, it's not that big a deal.
It's American,
and I'm like,
it's American justice.
What is that? Like, and I'm like, oh man, that's got a little racist tinge to it. Like the Latin lover, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, ugh, so lame.
The hothead.
Justice and harmony.
Yeah, he's just a hothead.
Yeah.
Justice and harmony. It keeps happening. Okay, that's I'm walking away.
All right.
You don't have to walk away.
No, it's a good place to end.
Yeah, it's a good place to end.
Kitty cats.
Wrap it up.
Kitty cats.
Oh, that guy.
Hey, I'm exhausted.
I am exhausted, but not too exhausted.
But hey, if you guys listen to this episode, don't be too exhausted to please rate and review us on Apple Podcast. And write a review. Give us all the stars.
All the stars
you can.
As many as they allow. And if you want to like have a question or
comments or hate mail,
you know, what is that? A grievance? No, errors and corrections.
Errors and corrections.
Yeah. Email us at emailpassions@gmail.com. Twitter, we're at passions4, F-O-R. And on Instagram, we're at passions4lifepod.
And again, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I know we said it already, but it's important. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your kitty cats.
Tell your kitty cats.
Yeah.
So we're on to 362. Yeah.
362 right? For next week.
For next,
unless one of us isn't in it.
Right.
Right. So, and we haven't checked ahead.
We haven't checked. We didn't check ahead. For all intents and purposes, it's 362.
We can put an update on the social media.
Yeah.
Yes, we will update you via social.
Thank you all for listening once again. And please just pretend like none of this is happening. Bye.
Bye.